This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey friends, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to episode 129 of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Today, I'm really pleased to bring you a conversation that I had with a mother and daughter who I know from church. Ginger is in charge of the children's ministry, and her daughter is, I think in her first year of college. And I've just seen them and their relationship and the way they relate to one another and others. And I wanted to ask them what's gone well, where have they struggled, just to hopefully give us some insights into what exactly are we doing for those of us who still have kiddos living at home. We cover all the things, like when your daughter is not like you or not like you thought she'd be, when you insert yourself and help them succeed, or when you actually need to let them fail. And I really like hearing from Jessica, the daughter, on what her mom did that actually made an impact. What does she remember when she looks back on her childhood, and what are her favorite things that she has learned from her mom? Before we jump in, though, I need to tell you about something new that is going on in the Mom Struggling Well empire. That makes me laugh every time. You guys, it's an empire. I feel like I should have a corner office overlooking like the ocean or something. But I'm sitting in my closet. All right, so I have weaseled my little sister into doing a segment with me called Struggling Sisters. You may have already heard the sneak peek of it. I laugh so hard every time I'm on the phone with her that I felt like we might as well record it. The episodes will be weekly, and we will cover whatever comes up. Like, whichever way the wind blows, we will go. That is kind of hard for my uptight personality, so I probably will come with a plan, but I likely will not stick to the plan. So for exclusive access to this weekly treasure for your ear holes, head to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell and become a supporter of the show. You will not be sorry. But if for some reason you are sorry, it's my sister's fault. You guys, I tried to help it, but I can't help it. I'm going to share like 2 more minutes of it with you just because it tickles me so much. So here it is.
Okay. Speaking of diets,
yeah.
I'm going to say solid 3 weeks of tracking every meal, doing keto diet, which is basically, low carb, high fat.
How's it going?
Nothing's happening. Okay. Zero. I am the same exact weight every single day. It's so frustrating. And they say not to go by weight, but I don't do measurements, so.
Hold it. But isn't it bad to not have carbs?
Well, they say that if you're not eating the carbs, then you're burning fat. So if you eat high fat, then you burn more fat. Seems so dumb. So far, super dumb. But I want to give it a good chance.
How much longer are you going to go?
I don't know. But I got some good news. Somebody told me yesterday, if you do fasting, so you're only eating like 6 hours a day,
okay.
6 to 8 hours a day, you're not...
So intermittent fasting.
Yes.
Yes.
Then you'll lose some weight. And so this morning I was 3 pounds down, which is, I know it fluctuates a lot, but I have been the same exact weight every day for weeks. But
Eric does it. My husband does it. You know Eric, my husband, you ever met him?
What's he do? The fasting or the keto?
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant like for a job. I'm like, no, you really do know him. I was just kidding about that. He does the intermittent fasting. Intermittent is a harder word than stethoscope.
I don't know. I have to start a poll. So what does he, what are his hours? When's he stop eating?
Oh, like he has done it before. I don't mean he's like a professional.
Eric does it, you said. Not Eric has done it.
Okay. Is that a wrong?
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to keep doing the fasting to see if that works, because we are in a weight loss challenge and I'm going to beat you.
I need to weigh my... Is today the weigh-in day?
Today's a weigh-in.
Okay, I just had 5 cookies.
Good plan.
So...
Keep that up.
I know, it's terrible. It's terrible. So we're trying to win $100 or $125. Don't we have 5 people? But one of them's a minor. Are we making them...
I can't do math. 5, 10... Wait, 25?
What?
4 people is 100. There's 5 of us. The winner's not going to pay themselves. So,
that's why we're missing $25. I get it.
I did math.
You did it right. I did it wrong. All right. Enough of that. If you want more, go to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. All right. Let's get started on my chat with Ginger and Jessica Lord. All right, ladies. So I asked you to be on the show today because I don't know if you've noticed, but mother and daughter relationships are complicated and can cause a lot of drama. And when I ask my guests something they learned from their mom, a lot of people say they'd rather not talk about their moms, which I think that makes me really sad. And I have seen you guys together and I know you both personally, and I just think you're fantastic. So I wanted to ask you some questions about y'all's relationship. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
So will you guys introduce yourselves? Tell us a little bit about you guys.
My name is Ginger Ward, and I have been married to David for 30 years. We have 3 kids, boy, girl, boy. So Jessica is in the middle, and I work at church. I'm in charge of our children's ministry, which is where you and I know each other from, Emily.
Yes.
And this is my daughter, Jessica.
Hello, I'm Jessica. I'm 19. I'm a sophomore at DBU, and I'm Dallas Baptist University.
There we go.
And I am majoring in elementary education.
Okay, so talk to me, Jessica, about being the middle child. Is it as bad as everybody says? Were you forgotten, overlooked?
Oh, no. I love being the middle child. It's like my favorite thing. I honestly think it balances out really well because I'm the only girl.
Okay.
Especially I am only about 18 months older than my younger brother, Justin. And so we're only a year and a half apart. And so we grew up as best friends.
Okay. So Ginger, when you found out you were having a girl, were you super pumped? Were you excited about it? Or were you nervous about it?
No, actually I was really excited. I grew up with only brothers and mainly boy cousins. I had one female cousin who lived a long way away, and I really always kind of wanted a sister. So when we started having kids, I really, really, really wanted a girl. Mm-hmm. And so I was really excited.
Was there ever confusing, like, because I don't have this issue, but some moms find that they, like you said, they want to kind of be sisters or friends with their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't seem like you are trying to be her peer.
No, I think it's fun right now because she's a young adult. And so our relationship is in the place where it's growing into more of a peer relationship. We're starting to have aspects of that. And that's really fun. Yeah. I was real aware of that not being a good thing when she was younger.
No, for sure. Some people, though, get a little confused about that, I think. Do you have a dream that you want to start, or maybe an idea for a business, but you don't know how to actually get it up and going? Maybe you're trying to figure out how you can make more income from home so you can finally go on vacation every once in a while, for heaven's sakes. My friend Karen is the founder of the Pursuit Community, and she is going to help us out with this problem. So Karen's launching a new experience that I am personally going to be going on, and I can't wait. And I wanted to tell you about it in case you wanted to come too. So she's created a new experience called a mastermind retreat, and only 20 women get to go. So over the course of 6 months, Karen's gonna walk with all 20 women, help them identify their strengths, dream up an idea, turn the idea into a profitable income stream that continues to make money while you sleep. That sounds pretty great to me. And the best part, we're all gathering at a gorgeous farmhouse outside of Nashville for a fun weekend of dreaming and planning, and I'm sure lots of amazing food and laughing. Karen has a really impressive history of building very profitable businesses. And so joining this group is like getting your hand held by someone who actually knows what they're doing. Karen's goal is to have your dream ready, launched, and making money by August. And because she loves Mom Struggling Well listeners almost as much as I do, she is going to give my listeners a coupon code to save $325 off the ticket cost. Visit pursuitcommunity.com and click Mastermind for all the details. At registration, use the code MSW and you'll save $325. And I will see you in Nashville. All right. So you said that you were hoping for and kind of excited about frilly dresses and bows and stuff, but that wasn't exactly how it went.
No.
How was raising Jessica different than how you thought raising a daughter would be?
You know, I think our natural reaction is that we expect our daughters to be like us, or at least like who we want to be, mm-hmm. or wanted to be. And so I did have expectations of excited about frilly dresses and big bows and dolls and dance classes. And she just really wasn't into a lot of those things, especially the dolls and the dance classes.
I was more into Star Wars.
Yeah, she's more into Star Wars and things
action
like that.
Figures.
Yeah. Okay. I think some moms push for those things and kind of are like, well, this is my picture of how you are, so I need you to Like, how long did it take you till you said, okay, Star Wars and action figures, we're going a different route?
Yeah, I think it was progressive for me. I think, yeah, when she was little and kind of understanding that and having to let go of those things, I think it just kind of happened one at a time. Probably the one I struggled with the most was the dance classes. But she was pretty adamant that that wasn't her thing. And so I didn't want to fight that battle. So I gave pretty easily, I think. I think the harder part for moms is when our girls get probably in their teenage years, mm-hmm. that to see them making choices and becoming young women. And when they're not fitting into the model we have in our heads, mm-hmm. it can cause a lot of conflict between mothers and daughters.
So what was that like for you when Jessica was becoming a teenager?
I think we've never had like major conflict, but there were times I was aware of, you know, just seeing, I'm someone who, like, when I was in high school, it was really important to me to be involved in all these different organizations and have lots of friends, and not so much like that.
Group of friends.
Yeah, groups of friends. And I, you know, at times noticed myself getting frustrated with her, and then had to kind of step back and go, well, why is that? Oh, I'm expecting something from her that's not her.
So how did she do it? She just had a couple of friends, or how was it different?
I've never really been a person to have like a group of friends. And that's something I think I've wanted, but I don't know if I've really gotten yet. But I've always been someone who, I'm very all over the place. And so that is reflected somewhat in my relationships with people. Yeah. So I am like, I know kind of everyone. And so I'll have friends who are here and they're in this group and they're in that group. And I don't really belong to the group. I can kind of go wherever I please in some respect.
Yeah. I can understand, Ginger, why that would be a little frustrating then. Like, Jessica, why aren't you finding your people? Why are your people everywhere?
Yeah. Well, I just find myself trying to push her towards something that just wasn't important to her.
So for my daughter, her and I are so wildly different that it's just beyond me. We look at each other and are like, you are so confusing. We are very confusing to each other. And so I think that for me, academics was, I loved them. They were very easy for me. For her, she doesn't like it. And that's fine. But there's some part that has to actually happen, like for graduation to happen, there needs to be some academics. So how do you know, like, how to push, but not too much? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you're really talking about, okay, how are you? It's really your differences between a mother and a daughter that we've seen create the most opportunity for conflict. And
I know. That's what we always talk about at church, that it's an opportunity. It doesn't always feel like an opportunity.
Yeah,
it?
Right. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But Jessica and I are alike in a lot of ways, but we're also very different in a lot of ways. So she is a random thinker, whereas I am somebody who thinks very much in a straight line.
Okay.
And I knew I was in trouble when she was probably kindergarten, first grade age, and I gave her a sheet of 100 math facts, and she like skipped all over the page to do them.
Oh.
Rather than start at the beginning and do them in order.
Yeah. Of course. It's so much fun the other way.
It's not about fun.
Right. And she's also very creative, whereas I'm more of a resourceful person, but not naturally creative. And so particularly the random versus organized thinking creates conflict for us. So with her, it has to do with how she spends her time and organizes her time, particularly in regard to schoolwork, right?
Yes, a lot to do with schoolwork.
Okay, so you have to kind of let her do her thing how she wants to do it, as long as it gets done.
Right. And I think where we end up getting conflict is where I see that maybe she's not doing something as efficiently as she could do it. And so I'll step in and insert myself in the situation, sometimes more than I should, or I'll get frustrated and let my frustration get the best of me.
Well, how do you know when you need to insert yourself and when you don't? Because if she's having so much fun with math that she's not getting it done at all.
My problem is that I often will let you do too much for me so I don't have to do the work.
Yeah, I think it's something I'm still learning, and she's in college, so that may not be encouraging.
No, it's not.
And so some of it's just over the years figuring that out, depending on what season we were in. Usually what happens is I insert myself too much and I see it and go, oh, wait a minute. she's depending on me more than she needs to right now, mm-hmm. versus I'm lending a hand in a way that's helping her learn a skill that she needs to learn.
Yeah.
And then I need to back off and let her do it on her own.
What kind of consequences worked? Like, was it if you bring home a grade that wasn't great because of your choice to have fun with math instead of like do the math?
Well, she always did pretty well grade wise. It was more the procrastinating, doing it last minute.
Now, Jessica, did your mom do anything that helped you with your procrastination?
I don't know.
Just letting you be in it and suffer the consequences if they came.
Yes, I know experiencing the consequences of my own actions has done a lot to help me grow and change. And that's actually something that we talked about when we actually like made thoughtful moves in like this semester I was in college, because sometimes it gets to the point where I have a problem, I'm gonna go call mom, sometimes because I'm freaking out, and then sometimes because I just want to verbally process, and then sometimes it's way too late for that or last minute and I don't need to be depending on you to help me.
I did draw the line and say, you can't call me after a certain time, even if your paper's due the next day.
Mm.
On your own.
That's hard, because I think you want your college age daughter to call you, right? But not if it's not helpful.
Right. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do as a parent is to let my children fail.
Yeah.
That's just a really hard thing to do.
How do you know when you're intervening? Like, when do you finally say it's time? It's just hard to know. There's no easy answer to that.
I think when I started to see it as a character issue, when I started to realize that it was a character thing with them versus they're at a point where they just need me to kind of come alongside and either help them learn a skill that they need to learn or just some moral support. But when something was repetitive enough, I was like, wait a minute, this is her being lazy or one of the boys being lazy. So I need to back off so that I'm not enabling this character flaw to develop in them.
Yeah. I get to tell you about another one of this week's sponsors, PrepDish. The only problem about feeding our children is that it keeps happening every day. I know I've talked to you about PrepDish before because I use them personally and I really love it, but PrepDish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. I get an email each week with the grocery list and the prep instructions. And after about 2 or 3 hours of prepping in the kitchen, my meals are mostly made for the whole week. It makes me really feel like I'm rocking life in general. And when the kids ask me what's for dinner, I actually know. This week we are having apricot glazed chicken thighs and sausage and shrimp gumbo, which my Louisiana husband is going to be thrilled about. I love that the meals are gluten-free or paleo, so you know you're starting with whole foods and you're feeding your family healthy meals. A gift for you guys from Allison, the founder, is that she's giving you 2-week free trial for free. So check out prepdish.com/MSW to get started for free. That's prepdish.com/MSW for 2 weeks free. So tell me, Jessica, you said that when you kind of get in a bind, your mom is who you want to call. And I think some people, when they leave home to go to college, they just don't even want to look back. It's just time to not call mom anymore. And I think that from what I hear with a lot of my mom listeners, they really hope that they don't jack their kids up to where they never want to talk to them when they grow up and move out. So why is your mom who you want to call?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. My mom has always been someone that I know I could approach. Both my parents, my mom and my dad, have done an awesome job at being safe places to come and talk to.
Okay.
And I know a significant part of that is that they've always done a great job at not reacting if you're to like share something hard or maybe really personal or maybe even a sin struggle, always being a safe place by not overreacting and just by listening. One of the things I really admire about my mom is how well she listens to me. And I'm a verbal processor, so whenever I feel something or I'm thinking something or trying to plan how to do anything, I like to talk out loud to someone.
Okay.
So it amazes me, like when I would be in places where I'm trying to figure out how to perfectly orchestrate my words, she would just wait and just patiently just sit there until I got there. She was trusting that I was working in my head to communicate to her. And that has meant so much to me.
Yeah, because I've heard the older you get, the later they stay up. And
oh my God.
It's yes. True.
It's true. It's hard. And the earlier I go to bed.
Man. Okay, so Ginger, tell me about that. Is listening super easy for you? Because right now I'm hearing about the intricacies of Harry Potter and I don't necessarily care. You know, so it's just sometimes the things they're into, you're not that into. So right. Talk to me about listening right. And being present to where she can feel it.
Yeah. There's definitely times when she's in verbally processing that, you know, I'm kind of just, and that's all she needs from me. But then there's times where I know I need to be fully present because she's really struggling with something. And so I think those are really different things. It's not that I've been fully present in every conversation with her for 19 years.
That's okay.
There's grace. How do you listen and help the processing when you kind of, have you seen that video where the girl's upset about something and the guy's like, but you have a nail sticking out of your head?
Yes.
I love that video so much.
So, I mean, I'm sure it is with my kids. I can see the nail. Like, this is your problem. So talk to me about hearing someone verbally process when you can see the nail in their head.
It's so important for your kids. So often they just need to figure it out themselves.
Okay.
And have mom or dad come in and say, well, this is your problem. Buck up, buddy. And, you know, move on. Take the nail head is not what helps. But also pretending that it's not there also is not the right solution either. I mean, I think with our kids, we just had to learn, one, to be a student of our kids, to really learn over the years, when does she really, really need me to listen? You know, there's times where the best thing I do is just listen and let her talk because she's going to figure it out. A lot of times while she's talking, I'm just praying. I'm like, okay, Lord, do I say this? Do I let her figure it out? You know, how much do I say at this point? Because and sometimes she needs to figure it out. Sometimes it's me just asking a question, being a good question asker. I think some of the best parents are good question askers.
I agree.
That's good.
That's a skill.
Yeah. Resentments can kind of build up in daily life with one another because you're just living together and, you know, people just irritate each other sometimes. How do you kind of deal with the tiny resentments of daily life so that you can come together and have those conversations that are meaningful?
I would say a couple of different things. One that's been important for our family is we really work hard on having fun together.
Okay.
And so we like being together and being around each other and just having that as the backdrop makes us want to move toward each other.
Okay. What do you do?
Oh, we're big game players in our family. So we do a lot of games. When they were little, we did a lot of wrestling and tickling and such that went on.
That was the best. We had family nights, nights.
We were intentional about family time together and tried to incorporate spiritual things into that, but also just did things that we enjoyed doing together. As the kids have gotten older, that we do a lot of, me not as much, but everybody else in my family loves movies. And so we do a lot of that and conversations. And
like about the movies when you're done or what?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
We can't just watch a movie in the Lord household. You have to watch it and then at least talk and discuss.
dissect it
for
they
at
dissect
least
movies.
An hour. Oh, man. Or so.
And Ginger, you don't really love movies?
I don't really love movies, but I go to a lot of them. I've even started enjoying some of the superhero movies because it means so much to my family that I engage in that with them because they love that.
That's so good.
So that was one thing, was just having a culture of fun and enjoying being together helps with the irritations of life. Mm-hmm. And then we really do work to keep short accounts so that when there is something there, some conflict, that we address that, that we come to each other and, you know, give each other space if we need it and then own our part. Hey, I got really frustrated. I'm sorry. Can we talk about what happened and just talking it through and not letting those build up over time?
Yeah.
I think what's so important about having the culture of just having fun together is that it makes keeping short accounts so much easier because you value the relationships you have with the other people in your family. And then you are willing to say you're sorry because over time, as you build up, at least in my mind, I've built up a connection between mending, saying I'm sorry. Saying I'm sorry leads to healing.
Well, and then more fun's happening, right? Because you want that. I think it's just easy in the where are your shoes, all that stuff, the daily grind can kind of overshadow really enjoying time together. I think especially when your kids are little, it's just so much shenanigans happening. It's kind of hard to, you know, remember to enjoy it. So it's good.
I had to learn when my kids were younger to exercise my yes muscle. It was easier for me to say no than it was to say yes. A lot of times I'm kind of a person who likes control and things going the way I want them to go and not too messy and all those things. And So I did have to grow my yes muscle and saying yes and the things that would be fun, even if they weren't neat and all organized, like I like everything to be.
Yes. And you think what helped with the fun? I think sometimes, because I'm the same way, and I don't love glitter and I don't love art projects unless they're done outside. And I'm a lot better at it than I give myself credit for, I think. But inside, I'm like, no. But even if I say yes, it's just kind of tricky. But then I feel like, and maybe this is just me, we do a fun thing, and then as soon as we're done, it's not even cleaned up yet, and they're on to, like, asking for the next, like, now can we make popsicles? I'm like, no. You know, I just don't ever think that it's enough. It feels a little exhausting.
Yes.
So help.
It is exhausting. There are so many times it's exhausting. I remember that, leaving Chuck E. Cheese, and they were complaining.
Yes.
They're like, wait a minute, we just had fun for 2 hours, and... So, yeah, those moments were there for sure.
I apologize on the children's behalf. I know we do this. I'm guilty. I remember doing that. I remember complaining about when we were at Disney World in like 2007, complaining that it wasn't Disney enough. And I look back on myself and I'm like, child, that is so rude. So ungrateful.
We spend thousands of dollars to get here.
They do grow up.
Oh, that's so good. You offer so much hope, Jessica. Okay, so Ginger, in the children's ministry, I think that you've probably seen a lot of interactions between parents and children that are probably some of them great, but some of them terrible. You know, what are you seeing young moms do that they should just stop doing? It would be really great.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, the answer is more what I would love to see them do, and that is to be intentional with their kids. Parents are the primary disciplers of their children. And so often we get so bogged down in just the day-to-day stuff of raising kids that we can lose sight of that. And so when I see moms who don't take that role seriously, it grieves my heart.
Yeah.
As you have so much influence on your kids, and we need to take that seriously and engage with our kids and take all the opportunity of laying groundwork when they're little. And so often feel like, oh gosh, they're just not getting it, but they really are. And it's been fun to watch my kids grow up and see how much of all that effort of those early years that just felt so hard at times really has made a difference in my kids and who they're growing up to be. And so yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind is be intentional with your kids and teach them who Jesus is and how awesome the Bible is and that it can be trusted. A good church is a great thing, but it will not substitute for the influence that parents have in their kids' lives.
Yeah. Oh, it is such a beating to be complained to all the time when you are trying to do a good job. And so you can throw in the towel because it's easier than really engaging and being told you're not doing good enough. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, if you had to throw out one way that you kind of built meaning into your daily routine or frequently to have spiritual conversations, what did you do? Was it meals or was it bedtime or what was that?
Well, it was wherever we could fit it, really. It changed probably some from season to season. We homeschooled our kids when they were young. And so when we were doing that, it was, you know, the first thing we did during the day was we spent time in the Word of God. Sometimes it was memorizing scripture. And we had this book that we went through where they would memorize different verses that corresponded to different temptations. So Jessica, if you're tempted to be impatient,
oh no,
I'm putting her on the
oh,
spot.
No.
If she can remember it, she's probably not going
I know
to. That's not fair of me.
Said, you're tempted to not be thankful.
Okay.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
I love it.
So anyway, so we spent time doing that. Then we did something called family nights that we loved. And that was just intentional family time together once a week, once every other week, depended on our schedules. And we would have fun dinner together. Usually it was pizza. Then we would do some sort of object lesson that had a spiritual lesson to it.
And did you just make those up or what?
No, at the time there was a series of books out called The Family Night Tool Chest.
Okay.
Have lessons with all the information on how to do it. Those were fun. We used those quite a bit.
Okay, so Jessica, your mom, as you were growing up, she worked at the church, right?
No. While I was growing up in elementary school, she was a stay-at-home parent. And so she was the one homeschooling me. And then when my dad lost his job,
we switched. David and I swapped roles.
Oh, wow.
Jessica was...
I was 10.
She was in fourth or fifth grade is when I started working. I've done everything. I've been home full time. I've worked part time while I was home with the kids and then worked full time.
Is that why you stopped homeschooling?
No.
I need to explain.
Yeah. So what happened was we were homeschooling and my husband lost his job. We ended up moving to Dallas and I started working at the church. And so he stayed home and did the schooling with the kids for a few years. Then our oldest son went into public school in ninth grade. And we saw that that was a kind of a rough transition for him.
Okay.
And we felt like we wanted the other two to have an on-ramp to that. We okay. felt like the Lord was kind of leading us to public school for high school.
Okay.
So they went to a school that's a university model.
Yeah.
Where they, Jessica went for 2 years before high school and our youngest went for 4 years where they were in school 2 days a week and then home the other 3 days. And then all of them have gone to public school for high school.
Tell me about how you made that choice to do high school for public school.
When we moved to Dallas, all of a sudden we had the opportunity to kind of choose where we would live. We rented the first year we were here. And so as we were looking for houses, we kept hearing about this one particular high school that was so good academically. And we thought during that time, we also came in contact with some families who had homeschooled their kids. And then in college, they just really went off the rails.
Interesting.
We felt like we wanted them to be able to deal with the world and all it can throw at you. Mm-hmm. But we wanted them to be able to do that while under our roof, while they were still at home.
So you kind of used high school as an on-ramp even to college and the real world by putting them in public school. That was the thinking.
Yes, that was the thinking.
How did that go for you, Jessica?
I think that worked well. It's really interesting. I like saying, like, I've been homeschooled, I've gone to private school, and I've gone to public school. The only thing I haven't done is board schooling.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But each one of those have been very impactful in different ways. I think it was really cool having been homeschooled, having gone to private school, and having all been poured into so much, and then being able to go out and them really having to trust that did parent well and that we could survive and we could do it.
Ginger, did you have any fear in sending your kids to public school after having homeschooled? And how did you handle that? Maybe you weren't concerned about it.
Of course, we've done all three. And I've seen families do every way well.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer in that it's a family decision. I mean, I wouldn't trade the fact that I homeschooled my kids when they were little, but I'm also really thankful that they were in public school and high school.
Okay.
Because they got exposed to things and had to learn to be around people that were really different than them. They had to learn to hear the cuss words that you hear in public
yes.
school and not freak out, learn how to be friends with people who were so different and have conversations about the Lord and about their beliefs
yeah.
with people.
I think that's probably the biggest way public school has impacted me is just socially, is being around so many different types of people and being able to befriend people that I wouldn't really probably run across as much. It helped me learn about myself more as a person.
Okay.
And develop, I think, the person because I interacted with these other people.
So to answer your original question, Emily, I don't know that I had a lot of fear
okay.
in that because they were older. I think if they were younger, I would have had a lot more fear.
So, Jessica, if you had to choose today what you would do with your kids, I know this is a crazy question, but what did you prefer? Like, what do you think you're going to do having had all the experiences with your own kids?
This is difficult because I love homeschooling so much. And what I loved about homeschooling is just what it did for our family. It just really created a foundation. And if I were to redo it, I know I would want to do some element at home. The private school I went to was my favorite. I would probably go back there because it was a classical model and it just emphasized critical thinking. It was so good.
You want my guess? My guess is she would do probably that university model with kids, because then it's a little bit of both worlds.
It is a little bit of both worlds.
Okay, so Jessica, having been raised in your mom's house for all your childhood, and you're gonna go someday and be a mom yourself, what is something that you definitely want to take from your childhood home and incorporate when you're a mom?
Well, there's a lot of things. One big thing is that I know I want to limit in some shape or form the amount of media influence my kids have. I realize like a big part of what has shaped me is we didn't watch a lot of TV growing up. I never really remember seeing any magazines around our house. And what that did is I do not struggle with a lot of body image things is because of how my mom modeled thinking and portraying how to think about beauty. Yeah.
Well, and you've said before that just the fact that you didn't have a lot of those images growing up, as we were particular about media and TV and magazines and things like that, that that's helped you as a young adult not have all those comparisons in your head.
Yes.
And you saw that your friends did from things like magazines and like what they watched?
Yes. It's really interesting trying to explain to my friends who struggle with all these different body image things and like comparison and like, oh, I just want to have like a thigh gap. And I'm like, what's a thigh gap? I don't even know what that is. But for so much of it, I'm not aware of the standard to compare to. And that is because I have not been exposed to all these different things, that which is so hard because you're just bombarded and it's everywhere now. And another thing I know I want to do as a mom is just, I love how both of my parents have modeled how to live a healthy life in a healthy manner. So one of the things I've really noticed with my friends as I've gotten older is that what they struggle with is a reflection of what their moms seem to struggle with.
Hmm.
What I've noticed is my friends that would struggle with these different things, like I remember growing up and you've modeled so well just health, but also talking about yourself. I do not have memories of you complaining about your weight or looking at yourself in the mirror, complaining about your hair or complaining that I wish this, or talking about dieting or doing a lot of diet. You've modeled contentment, but you've modeled health, because I've remembered growing up always, it's you and Dad would get up at 5:30 and go work out and have quiet time. That was just the routine. And so in my head, that's, it's just, well, of course I can get up that early because that's just what's been done.
That modeling.
Yeah, seeing that. And that's impacted me, I know, spiritually, seeing you get up that early, not just to physically grow, but also like spiritually grow. And so as I've grown up trying to, and growing in my faith with the Lord and trying to figure out how to have a consistent quiet time, I've had this amazing example all of my life of seeing my parents get up early in the morning and spending time with the Lord no matter what. And so it's made it so much easier to not have to create a standard for myself, but to actually just be, oh, of course, I get up and I have my time with the Lord.
I love it. That's so good. Okay, so let me just finish with the question that I love. What is something you cannot stop talking about right now?
Okay, I'm going to let Jessica answer this first because she has a really fun answer.
Oh, so good.
Okay, so I've had one that literally hasn't changed in like 6 months, but I cannot stop talking about mom podcasts.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
That is so fun. Why?
I love learning and I love growing. And so I love finding ways to kind of self-improve.
Yeah, so she started with your podcast.
I started with your podcast. mom struggling well. And then I moved on to...
You added.
I added At Home with Sally by Sally Clarkson.
Oh, I love Sally Clarkson.
So this is funny. Jessica and I got together about a few months ago to kind of talk through your questions for this.
Yeah.
And she starts talking about, oh, mom, I found this new podcast. And she starts describing it. And I realized as she's talking that it's Sally Clarkson. And I was like, Jessica, you were raised on Sally Clarkson. I mean, before there was podcasts, I read all Sally's books and I went to
the Mom Heart
conferences. And so it's so hysterical to have her fall in love with someone that helped me raise her.
That is so funny. I love that.
Oh, the third one was
God-centered mom.
Yeah. Heather. Uh-huh. She's a friend of mine.
Oh, she's so fun.
She is so fun.
It all started with you, Emily.
It all started with you. And so now when anyone asks me like a fun fact about myself, I say, I'm 19 years old and I listen to mom podcasts.
That is so funny to me. You're going to be a great mom. I love that you're starting out early in the listening to mom podcasts, not in the having babies.
Right.
Yeah. I love it. So Ginger, what about you?
One of the things that I talk about a lot these days is marriage ministry. My husband and I have gotten involved in leading with our marriage ministry at church called Reengage. And so it's just really exciting to see God working in these marriages. And it's just really taking the gospel and applying it to our marriage relationships. And it's great for David and I's relationship, as well as, you know, just to be a part of what God's doing in these other couples that we're walking alongside.
Because applying the gospel really does change a marriage. I think sometimes we think marriages are too far gone, but really it doesn't have to be.
No, not at all. And the other piece of that is my husband is about to start as of January 1. He is working with a ministry called Marriage Revolution. And the couple that leads that do some conferences around the country. But their big thing is they do individual biblical marriage counseling. So kind of different than a Reengage for couples who don't have that in their area or need something a little bit more than the group. So he's going to be doing that and being involved with that ministry. And it's just a really neat ministry for couples who need that kind of help.
That's great. He will be so good at that, I think.
Thank you. I think so.
Yay. Well, ladies, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate your honesty and just being willing to talk about the good stuff and the hard stuff and all that. And I think it's going to be really helpful to moms.
It's so fun.
I hope so. I just really hope that this encourages, well, any parents, both moms and dads who might listen to this as well, just to know that what you do for your kids, it really makes a difference.
That's so important because we do sometimes, it's hard to see the end game when you're looking at a little booger who won't do anything you're asking him to do.
Right. The whole thing about the years are short, the days are long. It's very true.
They are. So good. Well, thank you, ladies. I really appreciate it. I really loved that. I loved the perspective Ginger has from kids that she has largely finished raising. I love hearing from Jessica, the things that she remembers. You never know, like, what is gonna stick with these kids. We put so much effort and time and blood and sweat and tears into things that they may not even remember happened. But that time we take them to the zoo and joke that we're gonna throw them into the lion's den, they write an essay about that and read it to their class. That happened to me last year. I wish I was kidding. So let's talk about some strategies to struggle well based on what Ginger and Jessica talked about. It obviously made an impact on Jessica the way that Ginger listened. Listening is hard, especially when the topic being discussed is not that interesting. I am learning a million times more than I ever wanted to know about Star Wars. I don't like it for one conversation. I certainly don't like it for every conversation. So this week I'm going to try to do a better job of actively listening about BB-8 or whatever. Maybe this week you struggle well by letting your kid fail. Ugh, so hard. But that might be exactly what they need. Maybe you struggle well this week by getting honest with yourself about how parenting a particular kid is not like you thought, the relationship's not like you thought, and you need to grieve that so that you can be fully present and accept who God made them to be. And he put them in your house, and it's not an accident. I'm speaking to myself here. So maybe you take some time this week to ask God to reframe your expectations so that you can fully love and accept and support the kids he's put in your house. So if you are not following along on social media, there's a lovely community of women both on Facebook and on Instagram at momstrugglingwell.com. We do Struggle Well Wednesday on Wednesday night because it wouldn't make sense to do Struggle Well Wednesday on like Tuesday. I sent out a weekly newsletter with things I'm listening to, reading, and cannot stop talking about. So you can sign up for that at momstrugglingwell.com. And as always, don't forget to use the Amazon affiliate link for the show when you do all your shopping on Amazon. To use that link, you just go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon and it'll take you right to Amazon. Doesn't cost you any extra, but it helps my kids have socks. You do want my kids to have socks, right? All right, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for the honor that motherhood is. Thank you for the ways that the grueling nature of motherhood refines us. Thank you for the community of moms who can support one another and encourage one another and give wisdom when we've been there. Such a beautiful picture of the body of Christ that you designed. Lord, would you help us be the mom that reaches out to another mom who's struggling? Will you help us be the mom that goes first to build relationships? Will you help us be the mom friend that we wish we had? Lord, for those of us who are lonely, would you please provide the friend that we need? God, we lift up our particular kids who are particularly challenging, and we ask that you would give us eyes to see them the way you do, because you had something really fantastic in mind, and we can't always tell what that is when we're in the trenches. But God, you're faithful to do that, and we're asking. Lord, help us be the mom that these kids need. In Jesus' name, amen.